The Old Testament lesson comes from Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country, on to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and to his offspring, that he would be the heir of the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel reading is from John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At least for me, one of the great things about John's gospel is his character's interactions with Jesus. Jesus tends to be this mysterious figure. All of the others are vibrant and knowable. Cynical Nathanael, sitting under his own tree pondering things, but when told that they've found the answer, replies, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Mary, the worried mother about the wedding and about her special son. Jesus, they don't have any wine. World-weary Samaritan woman at the well. "Ah, show me where I can get this water so I can stop coming to this well." Nicodemus, another one of those characters. Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees and a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a pillar of that community. Nicodemus knew that he was missing something out of his depth. Still worried about his reputation. He comes to Jesus at night. "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God. No one could do the signs you do if God were not with him." But what I want you to notice is that Nicodemus' admission doesn't have a question. Dark enough, he doesn't even know where to start. So Jesus puts him on the path. What might actually be a pun in Greek, for the word "from above" also means again. Why, we might ask, the development of the Greek language. But Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again," or born from above, "you cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus runs with the most ridiculous possible interpretation of what Jesus says. "How can an old man re-enter his mother's womb?" Push the church to be extra relevant. Not a bad thing. Tends to miss something that Jesus is telling. Church has its. The church's basis for existing is not of this world. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The wind blows where it wills." So it is. One born of the Spirit. If by relevant speakers mean adopting the ways of the world to help out, we missed Jesus' point. The ways of the world are the ways of the flesh. I think Jesus would say the same thing to many of them that he does say to Nicodemus here. "You are the teacher of Israel? You do not know these things?" The kingdom of God rests on
Christ alone. It rests on his revelation of spiritual things. Christ. And it's only through Christ that we truly understand that Spirit's import. Came darkness. Shake up Nicodemus's world. Prod him towards a true understanding. And more than just an understanding, to prod him towards an acceptance of the gift. This ways. No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, of man. First way that Jesus would reveal the Father and the Spirit would be through his teaching. He came to reveal the heavenly things. These are not things that can be understood naturally. One must be born again. Has given us some promises in those regards. Peter would say, the scriptures are written by men, carried along by the Spirit. Scriptures, we have God's word. We have Jesus' teaching. Path of the Spirit. Become wise unto the kingdom, we've been given that word. But Jesus is overabundant in his means of grace. He's given us a second promise in here. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. He took the baptism that was meant for us, that baptism of fire, and he gave us his of water. Given us that birth from above, the new birth, waters of baptism. This sacrament of the kingdom is the true promise that our faith can grasp. Might seem strange. Water, we might say naturally, not more than just water. About the water connected with the Spirit. Spirit who Jesus promised would be there in those waters connected to his. The second way that Jesus came to give us a gift is that cross. Again, if we're looking at that cross with the eyes of flesh, it's nothing but pain and loss and end. See it with the eyes of faith, the greatest gift ever given. The truest testament of the love of the Father for his children. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, and healed Israel, the Son of Man, lifted up greater Israel. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. God so loved the world, all of his erring children, that he gave his only Son. That cross have eternal life. Most people we meet in the scriptures come in, leave the page, and we don't know what happened to them. Nicodemus is the odd one. Joseph of Arimathea retrieved the body from the cross, applied the tomb. Nicodemus, according to John, brought 75 pounds of fragrance to the body. Evidently, teacher of Israel, willing to learn. If we're thinking in fleshly terms, if we expect a Messiah, we expect him kind of to come as a judge. And that was always Luther's trouble. He was expecting Christ's judgment on him. He was always afraid of his judgment until he got his gospel breakthrough. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world in order that the world might be saved. Christ came the first time to reveal the love of God. He came to remove the penalty of sin, give us grace. Grace in work, grace in water, grace in that indwelling of the Spirit, grace that will spring up to eternal life. Christ will return to bring the kingdom of God to its fruition. That second time, there is a judgment. The only question is, which set of books do you want to choose to be judged by? Books of the flesh, books of the Spirit. The record of everything that you've done, or the record of everything that Christ done for you.